my dear friends in Christ, on the second Sunday in Lent, it may seem a little strange to us to have the gospel of the Transfiguration related to us because of the fact that the Transfiguration was a very glorious event in the life of our Divine Lord. And we see that this is a glorious event while Lent is a time of fasting, mortification, and self-denial. And we see how very different this event is from last Sunday's gospel. Last Sunday we had our Lord being tempted by the devil, and we see that, so to say, a struggle. Today we see our Lord in triumph through means of his transfiguration. And I believe that Holy Mother the Church sets before our minds the transfiguration today on the second Sunday in Lent to remind us of the image of the spiritual transfiguration that should be taking place in our souls, especially during this holy season of Lent, as we use the means of the penances and sacrifices to purify ourselves during this holy season. Now, when our Lord appeared at his transfiguration, he appeared with his face shining as the sun and his garments as white as the snow. And he appeared, or he was transfigured, I should say, before three of his apostles, Peter, James, and John. It's very interesting that our Lord chose these three apostles to be transfigured before, because these three same apostles were to be witnesses to the passion that our Lord would undergo, the agony that he would undergo in the Garden of Gethsemane. So these three apostles were chosen by our Divine Lord. And it is said that these apostles were three of the most faithful apostles of our Divine Lord. And how very fitting that these should be chosen, St. Peter, to be the prince of the apostles, to strengthen the brethren after our Lord was to ascend into heaven. St. James, he was a very fiery personality. He was a son of thunder. And so it is that he was the first one to be martyred for our Divine Lord. So he was chosen by our Lord to witness the transfiguration. And then lastly, St. John, the beloved disciple of our Divine Lord. So our Lord was transfigured before them to strengthen them in their belief of his divinity as they would see him in sorrow and in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we think about this transfiguration, we see how our Lord appeared with Moses and Elias on either side. And also very fitting that Moses and Elias appeared, because Moses and Elias were two of the holiest men of the Old Testament. These two men also prefigured our Divine Lord by means of having undertaken a 40-day fast. And Moses also was given a glimpse of God's glory. So Moses, as we well know from Scripture, was chosen by God to take the chosen people out of their captivity in Egypt. And Almighty God called Moses to come up to Mount Sinai and to spend 40 days in conversation with him. So Moses, having left the people, the chosen people at the foot of the mountain, went up and for 40 days and 40 nights was in intimate conversation with Almighty God. And we know that it was during this time that God gave him the Ten Commandments. But one thing that Moses did while he was up there, he asked God to give him a glimpse of his glory. And Almighty God told Moses that he could not show him his face because he would not be able to stand it, but that he would give him a small glimpse of his glory. And the glory that was revealed to Moses was so great that after that event took place, Moses, whenever he would speak to the chosen people, would have to veil his face because his face shone as bright as the sun, as if rays of light were coming forth from the face of Moses. He was given that glimpse of God's glory. And it was so great, and it was so awesome that he had to veil his face because the Israelites could not gaze upon the countenance of Moses. So a little reflection of today's transfiguration. And we know during that time, he fasted and prayed, and for 40 days and 40 nights, just like our Divine Lord. Now Elias, he lived many years after Moses, but he too undertook a 40-day fast. And we've spoken about this before, but Elias had what I would call a showdown on Mount Carmel. And it was there on Mount Carmel where he had prayed to the true God to consume his sacrifice over the sacrifices of the false god Baal. We know that God sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice of Elias. And we know how Elias put to death the false prophet, or the prophets of the false god Baal. And the queen at the time was very upset, Queen Jezebel. So much so that she sent a message to Elias telling him that he was going to die, that she was going to kill him. So Elias fled for his life. And as we read in scripture how Elias, having fled for his life, he came to a point where he was just so overwhelmed. And he just thought to himself, I can't keep doing this. And he was so discouraged. He was so down. And he said, he laid down and he said, God, take my life. I can't take this anymore. And we read in scripture how he fell into a deep sleep. And an angel of the Lord was sent to Elias. And the angel woke Elias up and gave him bread and water and said, he told Elias, you have a great journey ahead of you. Eat of this bread and drink of this water, because you have this long journey. And Elias ate and drank, and he fell again into a deep sleep. The Lord sent an angel to Elias once more, and Elias was awakened, and then he undertook this journey through the desert to Mount Horeb, where God was going to reveal to him the great mission that he had for Elias. And those 40 days of the journey that he took was without any food, any water. As he had taken that food and water by the angel, that was what he survived off of for those 40 days. But once he made it to Mount Horeb, he went into a cave and prayed to Almighty God to show him what he wanted him to do. And as we read in scripture, there was a great earthquake, there was lightning, thunder, there was rain, and then there was a gentle breeze that came through and spoke to Elias. It was the voice of God, and God made it known to Elias what he wanted him to do. So for us, as we reflect upon this event in today's gospel, we too are called by Almighty God, this gentle voice, so to say. To Moses, he appeared in a pillar of cloud, but we are called by Almighty God to do his will. And so as we come to church, we should ask Almighty God, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord makes it very clear to us what he wants us to do in today's epistle. As St. Paul tells us, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So there should be no ifs, ands, or buts. We should not be wondering, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to do this? Does he want me to do that? He makes it clear to us, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And so the season of Lent is precisely meant to do that, to sanctify us through means of the extra prayers, the extra penances, the extra sacrifices. Now, yesterday we celebrated the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, the great angelic doctor. And St. Thomas Aquinas was once asked, if someone were to ask you, how does one become a saint, what would you say? And the person who had asked St. Thomas this was expecting a very deep, a very philosophical answer, a very philosophical reply. And St. Thomas put it very simply. He said this, will it. So that means desire it, you must want it. Do good, avoid evil. And that is this simple recipe for our sanctity, for sanctification, is to desire to become saints, to desire to sanctify ourselves. Will it, desire it, as St. Thomas says, do good, avoid evil. Simple as that. It's not rocket science. It doesn't have to be difficult or complicated. Sanctity, striving towards that sanctification and sanctity, is very simple and very easy. Do good, avoid evil, desire it. And that is why St. Teresa's little way is so appealing, because we're not called to do anything extraordinary. We're not called to be kneeling in church all day. We're not called to pray with our arms outstretched, to be doing these great fastings, or to be scourging ourselves, etc. That's not what sanctity is. That's not how we sanctify ourselves. How we sanctify ourselves, as St. Teresa says of the little flower, that we simply do the little things, our daily duty, well, for the love of God. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever else you do, as we read in scripture, do all for the love of God. So as you're washing your dishes, do it for the love of God. As you're out doing your chores, do it for the love of God. As you're doing your schoolwork, do it for the love of God. If you're in the office or out on the farm, be doing what you're doing for the love of God. And that is how we're going to sanctify ourselves. That is the simple recipe to our sanctification. And as we read today, that is the will of God, our sanctification. This is what God desires and wants from each and every one of us, is to be sanctified, to sanctify ourselves in our daily duty. And so very easy and very encouraging for all of us to reflect upon that. That's within all of our reach, to sanctify ourselves, to reach and become the saint that God wants and desires each and every one of us to become. So on the second Sunday in Lent, as we reflect upon this transfiguration, reminder to us of the spiritual transformation that should be taking place in our souls during this holy season, and to remember this little prayers of sacrifices and penances, do them united with Christ crucified. Do it for the love of Jesus, as he died on that cross for the love of us. And that is how we're going to sanctify ourselves. So let us keep in mind, as we read in the epistle, this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.